A shipwreck hunting group announced recently they discovered the wreckage of the Lac La Belle, a luxury steamer that sank in Lake Michigan more than 150 years ago. It was found about 20 miles offshore between Racine and Kenosha.
Scuba diver Paul Ehorn has been searching for shipwrecks since he was a teenager. This discovery was nearly 60 years in the making.
According to UW-Madison's Wisconsin Water Library, the Great Lakes, they're home to an estimated 6,000 to 10,000 shipwrecks, most of which remain undiscovered.
But underwater archaeologists say shipwreck discoveries in the Great Lakes are on the rise because of advancements in technology and with the help of citizen scientists.
Brendan Baylod is a maritime historian and president of the Wisconsin Underwater Archaeology Association. His book on Wisconsin shipwrecks is called Fathoms Deep But Not Forgotten. Brendan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Paul Ehorn is an Illinois-based scuba diver and shipwreck hunter. He has located 15 Great Lakes shipwrecks, most recently the Lac La Belle. Paul, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to you, too.
Paul, this search for the Lac La Belle, it has been decades in the making. What was it like to finally locate this wreck you've been looking for so long?
Well, it was quite intriguing. I had a friend with me, and he'd never been along when we discovered a wreck, and he was real excited. It was just a wonderful day. Beautiful wreck, it turned out, and it's just got a beautiful name, La Belle, you know. It was fun.
You found it within hours. Why was it the actual find, once you got to it, not that difficult?
Well, Brendan had a lot of information in his book, and I'd done a lot of research, and I put the two together, and it took us just a little less than 2 hours to find it, and we knew it was the same wreck. Had a sonar printout. We put a drop camera down, which is pretty much a camera on an eyeball on a string, looking downward. You can't control it. It just kind of swings which way it wants to, or the current carries it. But we got a little peek at the wreck anyway with that, just black and white, nothing super, but just something to make you a little more satisfied.
Something to whet your appetite, right? Brendan, you know, eyeball on a string, what goes into the search for a shipwreck?
Well, I mean, really, you make a search grid. And I think, and Paul may want to speak to this too, but we usually figure out an area that we can do in a couple of days. And what we want to do is we want to rule out that bottom. We want to say, this is where it isn't. Yeah, rather than this is where it is, because that's good information too. It's important information. And we go out and mow the lawn. You know, Paul's got a really good commercial grade side scanning sonar made by Klein, and it'll shoot a three-dimensional picture of the bottom that's like a third of a mile wide or more. And, you know, we go out and we just mow that area, and we wait for something to crawl across the screen.
Wow. Wow. Paul, how do you decide when and how to alert the authorities and the public about a located wreck? Because Lac La Belle, that was located in 2022.
Well, it was located on October 4th, which is late in the year for the Great Lakes. It gets very choppy and winds blow and just cold. You don't want to go out there. You can't go out there quite often. Then 2024, I got two divers to join me, John Jansen and John Scholes. They're deep divers, and I enlisted them, and we finally got together, organized everything. We got out there, and the two Johns went down and filmed it.
Brendan, you and other underwater archaeologists say that we're seeing more shipwreck discoveries on the Great Lakes. What is contributing to this uptick in locating old sunken ships?
I think it's really three things. The first thing is better awareness. People see these press releases that we do when we find new wrecks, because we're trying to educate the public about the Great Lakes maritime history and about the role these ships played in building America back in the 1800s. And we're having a lot of success. People are learning about it. The other two factors, number one, I'd say, is the cost of technology going down. So side-scanning sonar used to be, you know, like units like the one Paul used, really were the realm of universities and corporations. But now side-scanning sonar is coming down in price to where it's affordable by a serious hobbyist. And then lastly, I'd say that a lot of wrecks are being found because the water cleared up due to the zebra and quagga mussels. And you can see the shipwrecks from the surface now in 20, 30 feet of water. So a lot of discoveries are being made by paddleboarders and kayakers who are reporting those finds. So it's kind of the golden age, I guess you might say, of shipwreck discovery on the Great Lakes, and a tremendous opportunity for us to tell the stories of these ships that played such a huge role in the cultural history of the Midwest and Wisconsin in particular.
Why are those invasive quagga mussels both a blessing and a curse?
Well, Lake Michigan naturally should have between 5 and 10 feet of visibility, right? And when I started scuba diving, and I think Paul can really speak to this, you know, he started diving in 1964. you know, the visibility down there, we called it braille diving. You'd go down and you'd have to get within a couple of feet of the shipwreck. Now you go down there and you can see, you know, sometimes 50, 80, 100 feet. You can see the whole ship. You know, it's spawned this all these beautiful underwater photos of these shipwrecks and raised consciousness. But at the same time, our biomass has collapsed in Lake Michigan because, you know, the zebra mussels filter all the zooplankton out of the water column, and then small forage species that eat those are decimated. And we're starting to see, you know, some real impact, particularly the whitefish population. It's completely changed Lake Michigan's biome.
We're talking about shipwreck hunting with Brendan Baylaw there, president of the Wisconsin Underwater Archaeology Association, and Paul Ehorn, a scuba diver and shipwreck hunter who recently discovered Lac La Belle in Lake Michigan after it sank more than 150 years ago. Paul, you've been scuba diving and hunting shipwrecks since you were 15 years old. What's behind your lifelong fascination with the Great Lakes and this piece of history?
A program in the 1950s called Sea Hunt on the TV, starring Mike Nelson. And I got my first shipwreck in 1964, I believe. And I was a skinny kid of about 120 pounds in a homemade wetsuit. Well, I bought it in the Monkey Ward catalog for $28. You glued it together. It was a kit. Came with a can of glue, and it kind of slowed the flow of water. It didn't keep you warm, I know that. But I would go in this old side wheel boat that had burned, and called the Niagara, and I was down there early spring. The water's cold, probably in the low 40s, and I came up and just shivering uncontrollably, and I'm sat there, and all I could say was, "How long before we can go back in?" So, you have to do a little surface interval in between dives, so avoid the bends. And I was hooked. That was it. It became a passion, an obsession, insanity. Your life just, it takes over.
Well, Brendan, let's dig into the history with the Lac La Belle. It's almost like a time capsule of the year it sank, 1872. How can these shipwrecks help us better understand the history of the region and of that era?
Well, she was part of a boom of vessels that were being built right at the end of the Civil War. And if you know anything about the Great Lakes region, we were the industrial engine that powered the industrialization of America. The raw goods that were being used, not just to build our country, but to fight the Civil War, the copper that was being used, you know, was all coming out of the Lake Superior mines and being carried by this ship. And back in those days, there was no such thing as a passenger ship versus a package freight ship. They all did double duty. So the Lac La Belle was really an opulent, fancy passenger steamer. She'd carry hundreds and hundreds of people from Cleveland, Ohio, up to the Lake Superior mining communities, because that was big business back then. And on the way back, they would load her full of copper ingots. She'd carry those down, and that went in to fuel really so many parts of the industrialization of America. And later, when she was moved down to the Lake Michigan trade, she was carrying a ton of trade back and forth between Milwaukee and Grand Haven. So these vessels, you know, in no small way, really were responsible for building America. And that, you know, it's so rare to have a structure on land from 1864 that contains everything on it, let alone one that has everything on it the day that it, that people were last on it. And the Lac La Belle is a time capsule. It's an underwater museum from 1872, and it played such a pivotal role, you know, not just in the industrialization of America, but in Milwaukee's history, in Grand Haven's history. You know, it's hard to really understate the importance that these ships and these port cities played in American, you know, in developing our country.
How did she go down? How did she sink?
Well, she was on her usual route across the lake, but it was late season. It was October. She was not carrying a whole lot of passengers at that point because it was considered a rough time of year to cross. But, you know, these ships ran late into the season.
Into November as well. Yeah.
That's right. And so she was on her usual route. She got a couple hours out of Milwaukee, almost heading straight across the lake, when she was found to be leaking. And they didn't know exactly why she was leaking. They turned her back, tried to turn her around, and water started to board her. The waves really came up. You know, you didn't have weather forecasting back then like we do now. So she's in about 10 to 15 foot waves, which it should have been something she could have handled. But with her leaking, she started to slowly sink in the water, and it put her boiler fires out. This was a steam-powered vessel, and so if you see the movie Titanic, you picture the coal men down below shoveling coal into the boilers, and those doors are pretty low down. Water got in, and she was at the mercy of the storm. She's getting real low in the water. The waves are getting bigger and bigger. And around 5 in the morning, the captain gives the order. He sees that she's going to go down, and they all take to the lifeboats. And in these huge seas that are building out there, one of the lifeboats capsizes, sending 8 people to their death. But everyone else made it ashore. The lifeboats all came ashore at different points along the Wisconsin coast, which is a bit of a clue as to where she might have been. You know, the rest is history. They went and reported the wreck to the newspapers. There are a lot of different accounts from different people. She was a major, major loss that year. And a huge loss to the Engelmann Transportation Company, really one of the finest passenger steamers on Lake Michigan at the time.
Thank you for that history. Paul, you know, the Lac La Belle, it was such a big find. What's next for you? Where do you go from here?
Well, I have 2 or 3 left that have drawn interest, but they've drawn interest by probably 15 different people or groups. There's a lot of smaller ones, but I like wooden vessels. I like steamers. I like schooners also, but I prefer a steamer and a wooden steamer, and this was the best of both worlds. So,
Brendan, before we have to let you go, the Wisconsin Shipwreck Coast National Marine Sanctuary, created nearly 5 years ago, you know, to protect these types of sites. And I'm wondering, I think this wreck is outside of that sanctuary, but how does a national sanctuary designation protect these shipwrecks for future generations?
Well, I think the wrecks already had legal protection for the most part, for many years here in Wisconsin. The sanctuary's primary mission is really to teach people about the history and to promote shipwreck tourism in the four communities that it covers: Port Washington, Sheboygan, Manitowoc, and Two Rivers. And they have a huge concentration of wrecks there. And one of the big draws there is the tourism, because you can go out and paddleboard and kayak and see these shipwrecks. Or if you're a scuba diver, you can go out and dive on them.
So how do you make sure that the Lac La Belle stays intact and protected for years and years to come?
I think that may take care of itself in some ways, because it's not a casual dive. The number of people that can safely dive a wreck at that depth isn't huge, but those divers tend to be pretty responsible. I don't think that the big risk to these wrecks anymore is scuba divers. It's natural forces, it's quagga mussels. And so all of our wrecks on the Great Lakes have a shelf life. You know, they're not going to look like this in 100 years. I have to commend Paul for really wanting to do that photogrammetry model, because that's a good standard for recording exactly how that wreck, you know, was at the time he found it. That way we can see they do change over time, and we get a snapshot in time of that underwater museum and exactly what it looked like. So, I have to commend him for really spending the time to do that.
Well, Paul and Brendan, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
That is scuba diver and shipwreck hunter Paul E. Horn and Brendan Baylod, president of the Wisconsin Underwater Archaeology Association. We've been talking about the recent discovery of the Lac La Belle in Lake Michigan off the coast between Kenosha and Racine, and what's behind the recent rise in shipwreck discoveries.
And a note for this weekend, the 2026 Ghost Ships Festival takes place in Manitowoc. It'll feature presentations about shipwrecks, nautical archaeology, and maritime history. Learn more at ghostshipsfestival.com.